This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
During the Great Depression, the homeless created Hoovervilles. Now Mayor Bloomberg's budget cuts are responsible for Bloombergville. We'll take that on later on, and key Democrats have joined Governor Christie in cutting public worker bargaining rights and balancing the budget on the workers' backs.
But first,
we set the pace for the next seg on the New Jersey budget with a seat of comments of Governor Chris Christie on a call-in program on the line on a colloquy with reporter Steve Adubato.
Governor, as we do this program, it is this historic day. Tell us what happened in the State House today. Tell us what it means with respect to pension and health benefit reform in the state of New Jersey with public employees. More importantly, what does it mean to citizens?
Well, what it's going to mean to citizens is extraordinary savings in the short and long term, $122 billion in savings, that's billion, over the next 30 years in the pension system alone. And it brings the pension system back to solvency over those 30 years. And so today, with the first step in that was the Senate Budget Committee passed by a 9-4 vote, a bipartisan vote. These pension and benefit reforms in one bill go to the full Senate for a vote.
I am a public school teacher, and I want to know what will be the draw for future teachers into the system with all the cuts that you're making and all the insults that you have made to this public school system.
First of all, I haven't insulted public school teachers, and that's just wrong, and it's once again their union who I've insulted and who deserves to be insulted, because they are the type of folks, the leaders of these unions, that are political thugs. And all you need to do is look at what they've done. In the last 17 months, they've spent $14 million in network television and radio ads just attacking me. Nothing positive about education, nothing positive towards developing things. These are folks who are used to being bullies and bullying people around. And here's what I'm going to do as governor. I'm standing up for the taxpayers of this state and for the students in our urban districts who are being cheated by our education system and who the teachers union doesn't care about.
The NJEA is the position of the president, Barbara Kashishian, and others, is that your style, your approach, and what they say is an approach that doesn't even let them at the table, doesn't allow them to engage in a dialogue with you so that they can have some meaningful contribution about reform, whether it's tenure or charter schools or merit pay, whatever it is. And you really don't have a seat for them at the table. Isn't that fair to say?
No, their meaningful contribution to reform has been nothing, has been zero. The best idea, the only idea they've had so far to reform tenure, is to say that tenure cases can go from an administrative law judge to an arbitrator. Listen, these folks are about maintaining a failed status quo. And no matter what else they do out there, their job is supposed to be trying to make sure they do the best they can for the teachers of the state of New Jersey to provide a great education. The hundreds of thousands of teachers across New Jersey in the main are doing a good job and deserve credit. They deserve a union as good as they are. They're not getting one.
Finally, Governor, many of those teachers do not separate your criticism from the union, of the union, as opposed to your thoughts about teachers. But the fact is, a lot of public school teachers they can't stand you. They think that you have targeted them, and you haven't been able to successfully separate that.
Well, I don't think that's right, Steve. And I think with a lot of teachers, I have successfully separated it. You know who I've successfully separated with? The teachers who listen. And if they listen to what I really say and not what their union puts out in its endless stream of attack propaganda, which is meant only to spend and waste the dues money that these teachers pay mandatory every year, $730 a year, to give the NJEA $130 million a year to spend not a nickel on salaries for their teachers, not a nickel on pensions, not a nickel on health care. They spend it all to intimidate and propagandize against politicians of both parties, by the way, who dare to stand up and say, we can do better in public education.
Well, that was Chris Christie. And we're going to lead up now with the discussion about unions in New Jersey.
Despite a recent outpouring of worker protests at the state capitol at Trenton, Democratic leaders Stephen Sweeney and Sheila Oliver joined with bombastic bully Governor Chris Christie to get approval for a measure to strip health care benefits from collective bargaining rights for state public workers, while the millionaire's tax went down in defeat.
Combined with so-called New Jersey public worker pension reforms, this will lead to lowering workers' pay by 5 to 10% while reaping big profits for the insurance industry, who charge high commissions for public worker health care insurance. We're joined now by Barbara Kasisian, the president of the New Jersey Educational Association, and was referenced continually in one of the most acerbic discourses, or not discourses, but proselytizing that I have ever heard from a governor. It was absolutely shocking. And we are also joined by Hedy Rosenstein, who is the area director of the Communications Workers of America, New Jersey. I want to start with Barbara. I mean, I was blown away when I heard just this incredible colloquy, which we didn't play all of it, but essentially he was referring to the teachers union as thugs and suggesting that the dues were nothing more than theft from the membership to harass the governor. Why don't we begin by really a response to these incredible, Ken said, bullying and, yes, bombastic bullying of Governor Christie. Barbara?
Well, yes, we've certainly been the brunt of his verbal and vitriolic attacks for about 18 months now, since he took office. And yes, he does refer to us as thugs. And, you know, I'm a high school math teacher for 29 years, and I probably don't consider myself in that vein, but the governor, at every attempt he gets, is out there lambasting the NJEA and its leadership. What he forgets is that the members are the NJEA. So our 200,000-plus members, that is the NJEA.
Hedy, let's continue with you. Why don't you tell us what happened in Trenton, what some refer to as the Second Battle of Trenton on the labor front with regard to the issues of pension and with regard to stripping the collective bargaining rights of the public sector unions with regard to health care?
Yes. Well, unlike Wisconsin, where we had 14 Democratic senators leave the state in order to stand up for collective bargaining, in New Jersey, we had this minority of Democratic senators led by Steve Sweeney, the Senate president, conspire and collaborate with Governor Christie and, along with Republicans, pass this pension and health care bill. And this bill increases worker contributions to the pension plan by 40% while eliminating cost of living adjustments for retirees for 30 years. And then in addition to it, it eliminates collective bargaining over health care and imposes enormous increases in the cost of health care, between 300 and 500% increases for health care. And this small group of Democrats did this with Republicans. The vast majority of the Democrats are opposing this, but we have this group of Christiecrats who are doing this, and they are unraveling collective bargaining. It's the only state in the country where Democrats are in the lead in trying to unravel public worker collective bargaining. It's shameful.
I want to go back again to Barbara. What are we to understand? I mean, the teachers, of course, there were issues about property taxes and a whole number of things that unfortunately have resulted in defeats, in effect. What are we to understand about Christie's relationship to the education system in New Jersey and the role of the union? What is your perspective?
He's doing everything that he can to privatize public education. He's out there always talking about the need to improve public education. And of course, we know that there's always areas for improvement, and we are willing to be a partner in that. We want our public schools to remain best in the nation, which, by the way, they are. New Jersey ranks at the top or near the top on every national test that is given. We just got the statistics that we have the highest graduation rate in the nation. So to be out there constantly saying that the public schools are failing is a total misnomer. We need to make certain that the public is aware. The parents love their public schools. Christie is out to privatize public education in New Jersey.
And Hedy, I wanted to follow up more with regard to the health insurance and take on Steve Sweeney, the head of the state Senate there. What is his interest in this? I know that he has links to, I think his name is Norcross, and also they tried to eliminate this Jersey State Insurance Corporation, which was run by the state and which was cost much less than the private insurers. So let's get into the dirt a little bit here.
Okay, so in New Jersey, we have a couple of warlords, machine politicians, George Norcross and a guy named Steve Adubato. And Steve Adubato owns a guy named Joe DiVincenzo. And so in the south of the state and in the north of the state in Essex County, we have these two warlords who in fact control between them about 15 assembly people and about 8 senators. And those are the people who are combining with Chris Christie. So there really is a bit of a rebellion against the boss politics in New Jersey. Unfortunately, that rebellion isn't yet successful. But we have these two characters. In the case of George Norcross, he is someone who is an insurance broker. And there certainly is an issue with regard to that. But more importantly, I really do think that we have in the person of Steve Sweeney, someone who has no core values of his own. He doesn't particularly, although he's an iron worker and he likes to brag about being a union person, he really doesn't have core values that we share. He's not a progressive, and he more often agrees with Chris Christie than with, you know, most of the people who elected the Democratic majority that resulted in his being the Senate president.
And the Steve we were talking about a moment ago is the father of the commentator on the tape we played, correct?
Yes, correct. Steve Adubato is the father of younger Steve Adubato, who has just been handed over the New Jersey public television station, NJN. It's been handed to WNAT. They're privatizing our New Jersey television station. And remarkably, I'm sure it's a complete coincidence, Steve Adubato is the beneficiary of that privatization. And that's going on all over the place. And you don't even really know which deals are being cut, whether or not the votes are taking place over health care or really because, you know, there's a deal in Atlantic City somewhere.
Barbara, and I wanted to get deeper into the health care with regard to the state benefit plan and how the health care insurance is handed out to the private vendors.
Well, each one of our local districts, you know, that's part of this problem. Health benefits have always been a subject of collective bargaining. We are a collective bargaining state, and being able to bargain the level of benefits for each one of our districts has been something that we have had for years and years and years. This is an infringement upon our collective bargaining right to determine what kind of plan you're going to have, how much you're going to pay for that plan. All of these things are subjects of collective bargaining. That is the basic problem that we have. They are taking away our right to collectively bargain. They are trying to balance the budget on the backs of public workers, and they are blaming public unions for everything that is wrong with the system.
Barbara, I just want to pursue for another moment. When you discuss privatization, part of what goes along with privatization, yes, the elimination of the collective bargaining, but literally the busting of the unions. And the kind of presentation that was made by Christie absolutely had a vigilante kind of rhetoric and shrillness about it to whip up mass hysteria that seemed to me nothing short of destroying the union. And part of the privatization is to, of course, make sure that we no longer have people who are in organized labor formations that can bargain on any level for their right. Is that what you also see going on?
you have to acknowledge the fact that this is going on across the country. New Jersey is not the only place where they are trying to privatize public education. They are trying to bring in big business, and we stand in their way. In New Jersey, the NJEA and the AFT, which is our sister union in terms of school employees, we stand in the way of Christie being able to privatize public education, to be able to bring in big business. Education is a multi-billion dollar industry. They want a piece of it. They want to take it over. And right now, we stand in their way. So naturally, they are going to do everything to try to demonize and to destroy us by saying that our public schools are not working. And that is absolutely not true.
Hetty, the changes in the health insurance, and also on top of that, we have what they call reform of the pension system. What's it going to cost your members in terms of?
So we would say it'll cost somewhere between 5 and 10% of pay, which is a lot. But the other issue is that for the state worker unions, we are all in bargaining with Governor Christie at this time. Our contract expires. And the governor has refused to bargain over health care because he's planning on legislating it. He wants to roll back our wages. We don't have a right to strike. The governor will try to impose this contract on us. And in New Jersey, we have limited rights, and he could try to impose. And our members could easily see 10% wage cuts overall. It will be devastating. We're not highly paid. Our members are working under very, very difficult conditions. We're incredibly understaffed. We work in institutions, in prisons. We are DIFAS social workers, environmental scientists, public defenders, all direct, very critical services, direct services that we provide. And there has been so many losses between retirements and people leaving the system and layoffs that we're incredibly understaffed. And on top of that, people could be losing pay, job security, pension security. It is a frightening factor for people who have devoted their lives to public service and done so much for the state.
Well, if I can just tag on to the examples that Hetty was just given, we've done a quick analysis. This plan, in terms of the addition to the pension payments and then the additional payments on the health care premiums, could possibly, on the average teacher's salary, double the amount of the contribution that these members will have to pay into their pensions and their health benefits.
Well, Barbara, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. And we thank Barbara Kasisian, who is the president of the New Jersey Educational Association, and Hetty Rosenstein, area director of the Communication Workers of America, New Jersey. And we will pay close attention to what happens in New Jersey. And we will continue to say, don't mourn, organize.
Students, labor, and communities united against the mayor's proposed budget cuts, occupying downtown Manhattan near City Hall for the past week. In symbolic encampment, they've called Bloombergville in a campaign to defeat the mayor's cutbacks and layoffs.
Well, that's where we're going next. And the campaign against Bloomberg's poverty budget has resulted in arrests of some of the protesters, and the New York Police Department has threatened arrests on several other occasions. But you know what? The Bloombergville is still alive and growing. And just as we learned from Wisconsin, we're building protests right here. So now, let's go to the Bloombergville with New Yorkers against the budget cuts.
Welcome to Bloombergville. Thanks for coming by. We've been out here for 5 days. Days, it's become clear that we need some more strict leadership around Bloombergville. And because Mayor Michael Bloomberg is such a good leader and his, what is it, third term is about to run out, we figured we need a leader, he needs a new job, so why don't we bring him in to be the leader of Bloombergville? we don't want to bother with all the term limit stuff, so we figure let's make him king of Bloombergville. After all, he did help create Bloombergville through all of his tireless efforts at slashing public education and hospitals and health clinics and transportation. Oh, there's a long, long list. We have a lot to thank him for, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that right? Round of applause for King Bloomberg. So, you are here to be part of the coronation of King Michael Bloomberg of Bloombergville. So, we don't have the crown right now. It's being imported. It's solid gold. So we didn't want to bring it around. This is, after all, kind of a shanty town, so it's not safe to have that kind of stuff around here.
Who paid for it? Goldman
Sachs? Yes. Well, all the top six banks chipped in for the big crown, so, you know, they also have a lot to be thankful for all of his hard work. What we wanted to do was bring you all here to Bloombergville and have a few of Michael Bloomberg's closest friends tell you about his life so that we could all participate in celebrating all of his glorious achievements. So I will invite a few of his friends to come tell you about him. Round of applause, please.
Welcome, everyone, to Bloombergville. As everyone knows, the best form of government is monarchy. I am here to speak against health care. I think diseases are disgusting, and all people who have diseases must be killed. Stop the hospitals! Stop the doctors! We immediately need all nurses to evacuate health clinics. We need all teenagers who are pregnant to have their nasty babies at home. Okay? I am here to tell you that recently, I was getting out of a limousine, and I saw a group of little street children. I was so afraid by their dirty poorness that I ran away and I tripped, and that is how I broke my arm. Luckily for me, I have a doctor of my own. You understand? Only certain people in this universe deserve healthcare. Can we not agree? Yes! Only very, very, very few people who deserve to be looked after when they are elderly. Do you agree? To present the fact that my dear friend Michael would like to close down 253 senior citizen centers across New York City. Do we agree? Yes, yes, yes. So I'm here to say that I am very much supportive of monarchy, permanent monarchy in New York City. Not three limits, no limits. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kitty Blank, and I'm the former Chancellor of Education under Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and I'm here to tell you about what a great, amazing person he is and how much he has done for New York City public schools.
Yeah.
Now, although I myself have never been to a public school, nor have my children, I have seen the film Dangerous Minds, so I know about the deep and pervasive problems plaguing our public schools. Teachers these days are greedy with their huge pensions and their long summer vacations. That is why we need to implement a corporate business model in the schools, right? Yes! Luckily, Mayor Michael Bloomberg was so prescient and knew that this was needed when he abolished the meddlesome Board of Education and implemented the Panel on Educational Policy, full of brilliant, highly educated, passionate hedge fund managers and business leaders that are very close to his heart. I know that your schools are overcrowded, but don't worry, we're going to put a charter school in your public school to make up for that. And don't worry, if you don't get a spot in the charter school, we need our children to be ready for the new job market so that one day they can maybe work at McDonald's or Burger King. Woo! In closing, God bless Mayor Michael Bloomberg. May he reign forever. And God bless the free market. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I am the new appointed CUNY Chancellor. And I just want to say that this year, we had so many people graduate, and they don't have jobs. And I'm so happy for her. You know why? Because I've been trying to find a way to get public school students to not get jobs. They're working class. Why do we need them? They don't even have the skills that we need. So I'm just happy to say that I'm glad we're doing our jobs, and we're also kicking out all our tenured professors. That's why we're saving money. You know, we can't pay for this. Like, we are taking so many loans out. Why should we give it to them? And plus also, we've increased tuition by 5%. And also, we're getting more out-of-state students who can give us more money. Isn't that amazing? And now we can expand CUNY, finally, with all the money that we're getting for out-of-state students. And also, to teach those greedy teachers a lesson, we're giving them two-year contracts, and we're also decreasing their pay. How much money are we saving? And also, we're now trying to give more entrepreneurs. We're trying to get more business-oriented students to come to our school, because we need to find a way to concentrate our wealth. We can't let greedy working-class people take all our stuff. There's not that many resources out there, so we need to make sure we can all have it and have a great party.
All right, so I don't want to deceive you. Obviously, he's got all our esteemed soon-to-be king. Obviously, has a lot more achievements than we're going to be able to talk about right now. I mean, he managed to pass through all these cuts even without a deficit. Isn't that amazing? Woo! Okay. I mean, that's brave. That's brave. He really took us for the team on that. And we have to thank him for that. So look, there are obviously a lot of other things he's done. I mean, of course, we're going to have a whole lot more homeless people than we had before. Yeah. Of course, yeah, we won't have nearly as many AIDS clinics as we did before. The list goes on and on. But I don't want to let it drag on. And also, as you all know, Mr. Bloomberg is a really humble guy, and I don't think he'd want us to spend so much time talking about him. So, without further ado, I think it would be a nice time for all of us to just really celebrate all of Mr. Bloomberg's achievements and really just spend some time together. There'll be some music, there's food, there's a lot of people here who are happy to continue the conversations about King Bloomberg's achievements. And we hope you'll stay the night. We hope you'll come back soon. We're not leaving here until this budget passes in its fullest glory. The more you can participate in, the better. Of course, there's a lot of space to sleep here, or just come by, hang out, have a chat. We could use help in a lot of different ways. Tell your friends. And again, just hang out. We're all going to be here celebrating. Another round of applause for King Bloomberg. All right.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.